Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What do the agricultural markets look like? Let's go in depth with Chad Hart, ISU Extension Office economist. So Chad, special program today in Knoxville. What are you doing?
We're down here to talk about the ag economy. So Patrick is in there right now talking about sort of the break-even cost, looking at the expense side, especially of crop agriculture as we're looking into 2022. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about the outlook, sort of what's happening with prices today and what it might mean for us over the next 12 to 18 months.
And that's Patrick Hadding, Farm Management Specialist.
Yes, sir.
So lots of things going on. Marion County Bank worked with Extension to bring you in. How important are meetings like this?
Meetings like this are very important, and especially this combination of, as you mentioned, it was Marion County Bank along with Extension. The idea is it helps to have this, I'll call it public-private partnership, in that, you know, that's saying that local businesses, local communities, they want to have this information in front of them, and that's that connection back to like a research university like Iowa State University. And so we've done this meeting down here for the past 3-4 years now, and it's always been this partnership, and it's one of these deals of reaching out to folks in the community and going, what would you like to learn about agriculture as we're going forward here? A lot of it has been about crop, just because that tends to be the bigger part of the equation as we get down here into Marion County. But we've talked about things like, you know, farm bill programs and crop insurance. And like I say, this discussion today is more about sort of market opportunities and market cost.
If I'm remembering right, last year you came in and there was quite a bit of uncertainty in the markets. But you, if I remember right, you showed us a slide and it was sort of reassuring. You were presenting long-term trends and what you were thinking about was going. You have access to all this data that really was able to help people make decisions.
That's our goal. That's our hope, is that we're not here to tell folks necessarily what to do, but hopefully give them the data, the information, so that they can make a more well-informed decision on what they want to do. And so I rely a lot of the work that, for example, that happens like at Iowa State University, University of Iowa, the research that goes on. But I also depend greatly on the data that comes out of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So a lot of the data I will present today comes from those studies that USDA has done over the past. And I show the history of, okay, here's what has happened to us in the recent past. Here's what that might mean for us as we're looking into the future. And so it helps to have that wealth of data behind you because you get more confidence in, okay, I'm going to make this business move now. Here's how I know it's sort of played out in the past. And that gives me some indication of how it will play out as we look in the future.
Yeah, for some things, those data points looking at the past are valuable, you know, for predictions in the future. But then throw in things where there is no, you know, data points in the past, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I mean, we all want to know what you think are going to happen to the ag markets, but you don't know, do you?
No, we don't know either. But, I mean, it's one of these deals of going, okay, there are, I guess I'll frame it this way, there are good times and bad times to have a lot of uncertainty. And for especially crop agriculture right now, I could argue now's possibly a good time to have uncertainty. Because even if we have a down day in the markets, we're still looking at some incredibly strong prices out on the marketplace. So we can handle this volatility right now. We're in a good spot financially when we're looking at our crop prices, for example. This would have been much more difficult to sort of deal with if we were talking about $2 and $3 corn versus $5, $6, $7 corn. Their farmers are in a much better financial situation now to deal with the swings in the marketplace than they were, say, 3 years ago.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about agricultural markets with Chad Hart, ISU Extension Office economist. And then you're always dealing with that tension in prices between, you know, crop prices and what's good for the row crop farmer isn't necessarily good for the cattle guy or hog right. guy. And so you're always dealing with that.
Yep.
Precarious balance.
Well, and we have to talk about that balance. You know, as we're looking at the Ukraine situation right now, what has that done thus far? Well, it has definitely put a you know fire under crop prices. So we've seen crop prices rise, and you're right. The idea is crop price rises are great for crop farmers, but they are tough for you know crop users, especially our livestock industry. At the same time, too, we have fairly strong livestock prices right now as well. Not quite as robust as what we've seen on the crop side. But for the most part, our livestock industry has been able to deal with these higher costs that are coming at them. But it does show the, let's call it the natural tension within the agricultural markets. The idea is that, you know, our crop side and our livestock side, one event has different meanings to agriculture here. It hits crops differently than it hits livestock. And so we've got to recognize that balance here as we look, at, especially across a state like Iowa, that depends on both strong crop agriculture and strong livestock agriculture. We're number one in corn, number two in soybeans, number one in hogs, number one in eggs. The idea is that we tend to do both crop and livestock well in this state. We've got to recognize that what can be good for one side of agriculture is not necessarily good for all sides of agriculture.
Well, and what's necessarily good for the world or bad for the world may be good or bad inversely for agriculture. And let's just play out one scenario. Let's just take both big producers, Ukraine and Russia, off the table. Let's just say that they aren't producing much. That's going to have a big impact on the world.
It will, and it will have, we'll see it impact in strange ways. When you're looking here at Russia and Ukraine, there's been a lot of concentration on what it means for the wheat market, for example, where we think, okay, wheat's probably the, you know, the biggest area that we'll see hit, but corn's not necessarily in there. But one of the biggest areas that's starting to be talked about more is in the vegetable oil market when we're looking globally. So when it comes to global exports of wheat, Russia and Ukraine represent about 30% of the global total that's traded. When it comes to corn, it's less than 20%. When it comes to vegetable oils, it's about 15%, but when it comes to sunflower oil specifically, Russia and Ukraine represent 80% of what is traded worldwide. So they have a dramatic impact on that, and that feeds. So since sunflower oil is a vegetable oil, it competes against soybean, canola or rapeseed, palm oil, you name those other vegetable oils that we utilize oftentimes in cooking, but also in industrial uses. Pulling, you know, Russia and Ukraine out of that mix means there's going to be tremendous market volatility as we look at the vegetable oil markets over the next 18 months because of this dispute.
Wow. And then toss in who knows what's going to happen with the oil.
Yes. So when you're talking about the energy market impacts here as well, and that's more, let's call it, of a Russian issue than a Ukrainian issue. Ukraine itself is not a very large exporter of energy products, but Russia definitely is, and that's where it's not the war necessarily causing issues there, but the idea of the economic sanctions that we're putting on Russia is definitely clamping down on their ability to export energy, hence driving energy prices up significantly as well.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation about agricultural markets with Chad Hart, ISU Extension Office economist.
When it comes to energy and ag, the big wild card here is actually going to be China. When you think about, okay, if Russia can't export to the U.S. or to Europe, China would be the next market they would look towards to see if they can make sales there in order to get a flow of funds back into that country.
And the China-Russia relationship is just getting tighter.
It's become stronger over the past couple of years. But it's also, let's call it a, it's not necessarily what you'd call a friendly relationship. I think these are two powers that are feeling themselves out, and I would say each one sees themselves as the leader of what they see as the new era of communism. And so, yes, they are sort of getting in a line with each other right now, but there's some competitive issues between the two of them as well.
I'm thinking right now, this is the time for some other people to recognize the importance of grabbing some profits. Everybody from, you know, other input dealers, fertilizer people, grocery stores, they see this fluidity, some rise in profits maybe for farmers, then they're going to take even more. Is that right? Is that possible?
I'll turn it in a different way. What I'd say I'm seeing is that as farmers' incomes have improved over the past couple of years, we saw a flush of government payments in 2020, but now we've seen this strong rise in prices through 2021 here into 2022. What farmers tend to do very effectively are basically take the profits from the previous year and turn around and immediately invest it in the prospects for the next year. What that ends up doing, though, is driving up input costs sort of as a natural consequence of that. And that's exactly what we've sort of seen here as we've went into 2022. We've seen that farmer reinvestment of their profitability along with supply chain problems creating a snowball effect that's led to much higher input costs for our producers here going into 2022 than what we faced in 2021.
But isn't some of that just the opportunity to sort of get in a little bit of extra profit?
Not necessarily. I would say, yeah, business is always looking for that. But at the same time, too, there's a difference between, let's call it overly doing that, using market power, just doing it because you can, versus the natural way a market tends to work. So there's a lot of discussion going on right now about, are we seeing some sort of market power play in like the fertilizer market, or there's been talk about like in meat packing as well over the past couple of years. I think the big challenge to that though is look at the entire price environment that we're sitting in right now. You're seeing prices go up everywhere. And so the movements I'm seeing even in fertilizer or, you know, land values, for example, I would argue we're seeing very similar movements across them all. And so I can't pull out that there's extra profit taking necessarily being done here, especially in the case of, you know, like fertilizer, because we just talked about how volatile energy markets are right now. Well, the biggest cost going into fertilizer is natural gas. And those prices have, especially given what's been going on in Europe, the global price for natural gas right now is roughly 5 to 6 times higher than it was 2 years ago. So that's a tremendous cost that has to be passed on.
And all fueling inflation.
Yep. So this all sort of goes part and parcel together. So where I start to look for it is, do you see, let's call it a price increase, that's sort of deviating away from the average of what we're seeing in the entire general economy? And right now, like I say, it's really hard to see that because everywhere you look, whether I'm at the grocery store or at the convenience store or at Walmart, no matter where I'm looking, almost everything right now is costing more than it did a year ago, 2 years ago. So there's this general inflation happening. We enjoy it when it helps us, for example, on our crop markets. All right, we got higher crop prices, but we also feel the pain when it impacts our costs.
Well, we've been all over the place, and I could talk with you all day, but I want to make sure that you share what you think is the most important thing for our listeners to know today.
Well, I think the big thing today is, you know, my lesson, or my, let's call it punchline for farmers is this, is that, yeah, we're going to see a lot of volatility in the ag markets over the next 18 months, but you hit upon it. The idea is that right now there's also some very good profit opportunities for our farmers to take advantage of right now. That doesn't necessarily mean I have to sell the crop today, but I'm looking to put in ways to protect the profitability that I see in the marketplace today. Can I utilize futures contracts, option contracts? Am I locking in my crop insurance so that I'm protecting the profitability that I see today? Because if I can do that and put in sort of price floor or some sort of mechanism to protect myself against that volatility, I'm doing it at a very good spot. And I know that I'll be, you know, it'll pay dividends for me down the road. What we don't want to do is watch prices go up as high as they've been just to watch them fall back down again and then not have that protection underneath us when that occurs. Because we know in ag, if you study the history long enough, what it shows us is prices go up and then they'll come right back down again. And oftentimes they come down quicker than they went up.
Thanks to Chad Hart for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.